We'll continue where we stopped last week. So we go back there to the book of Matthew chapter 11 and Micah chapter 2. Well, last Sunday I proved to the church where we have pulpit, the tradition of pulpit, and also that it was also the tradition of the Jews when they come to the temple that the minister will open the word, and then he will call, they will all stand up, and then he will read it in a platform that was raised in a pulpit of wood. He will raise it so it's higher than the people. Then he will read it, and then when he read it, the people will say amen. How many times? They will say amen, amen. And then he will now cause the people to understand by explaining what it means. That is why in the entire message, our tradition is when we want to pick the text for the day, everybody stands up. And that scripture is Nehemiah chapter 8. So you go read it and mark it. If you read it from verse 1, Nehemiah chapter 8, that is where it is. So anytime it is time to pick a text like this for a major service like this, don't be surprised. It is not a commandment of the Lord. It is a tradition. So whether it is done or not, it is no sin. But we want to follow the tradition of the fathers. That is why we stand up, and all inter-message churches worldwide, this is also their own practice. That is why we stand up. Even as I talk, some people still sit down. So, I don't know how to talk again. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and I'll go to Micah chapter 2 also. That is our text. Verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Micah chapter 2, hallelujah, verse 10, and the first sentence there is where I am picking. It says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated and let me give you the understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so many of you were not here last Sunday. You have to go and get the message, the tape, so that we can conclude this today. Last Sunday, the topic we're looking at is "This is not your rest." And this is the second part of that message. Part two. This is not your rest. And why is this message important? The message is important because the rest of a Christian is defined, hallelujah. When we go to the Old Testament, the children of Israel left Egypt for the promised land. And when they left, I'm summarizing what we spoke last week. And when they left Egypt, they are a type of the church in this grace age. Remember, Israel was referred to as the church in the wilderness. And they are a shadow of things to come. They are a type of what will take place in the grace age. Just as they were sent by a prophet to lead them out of Egypt, God also sent a prophet, Prophet Jesus, whom Moses prophesied that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And the Bible confirmed in the book of Acts that that prophet that Moses prophesied in Deuteronomy chapter 18 was Christ. And he led the children of Israel and led all of us too, the Gentile church, from the bondage of the law and the bondage of unbelief out. But when he led us out, he was leading us to a rest. The children of Israel were struggling and laboring in Egypt, and God was sending them to their promised land. So their promised land is their rest. They were all looking forward, as they were in the wilderness journey, they were looking forward to a time where they will go and rest, where there will be no more bondage. They will have all the freedom now to live and serve their God the way they should serve their God. Remember, when they were in Egypt, they would not allow them to serve their God like that. So the promised land, Canaan land, was their rest. But we here, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, say, come to me and I will give you rest. What are you struggling from? What is the bondage you are in? I explained last week that every one of us, human beings, are struggling with one thing or the other to serve God. Struggling to serve God. You are struggling to live a life pleasing before God. That is the struggle. And Christ is promising us the rest from that struggle. And I tried to prove last week that that rest that Christ promises us is what? It's what? It's the Holy Ghost. You're correct. The rest of a Christian is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I gave how that in the wilderness journey, so that you understand why Moses was taken away. Moses did not take the people to the promised land. Who took the people to the promised land? Joshua. And if the Old Testament is a type of the New Testament, Jesus is a type of Moses that brought us out. Moses was taken away so that Joshua can perform his own ministry. What was the ministry of Joshua? He was the one that positionally placed everyone in the land of promise. This tribe, this is your own place. This tribe, this is your own land. He positionally placed everybody where they should be. And Joshua's ministry is a type of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus Christ had to go first before the Comforter will come. As Moses was taken away so that Joshua can come for his ministry, so Jesus Christ was taken away so that the Holy Ghost can come. And he gave some in the land of rest. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some everybody. He placed everybody in the land of rest, the Holy Ghost. That is the rest. But now, church, yet, Prophet Micah is saying the children of Israel came to their promised land, but he's saying this is not yet your rest. And I'm picking a thought from there. When he said that it is not yet your rest, why was Micah saying, or why am I also saying it is not yet your rest? It is because while in the promised land, it is your possession. It is your inheritance. But watch it. For every inch of their promised land that the children of Israel occupied, they fought a battle. See? They fought a battle. For every inch of ground they gained, it was their promised land. Yet, the Moabites were still there. The Amorites were still there. God did not wipe them all away so that they will come. He left the children of Israel to possess their possession, and they were to contend for their land. The Amorites would try to resist it, although the greatest landlord and the only true landlord has given them their land. But he has the power to wipe them all away. Yet, he left them there. There was a time the Amorites were disturbing them so much. And the children of Israel were crying, and it's like, why is God not dealing with these Amorites? And God told them, he said he was waiting for the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites to be full. Well, that is another message entirely. But the important thing is this, that he did not wipe them all away. So, he left them to be fighting battles. And I told you, because it is needful for you to know this. Oh, now I have received the Holy Ghost. Then you relax. You cannot relax. That is all I'm trying to let you know by this exhortation. Once you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the battle begins. The battle begins from every front. From every front. In the Old Testament, we have them as the Moabites and the Amorites and the Philistines and the Gergeshites and all of them, all from everywhere. Those were their names. But now, they are not called Amorites. They are not called Moabites. They are given other names. But what are they after? Whatever thing that is attacking you, church, after you have received the Holy Ghost, why are they attacking you? So that you will not enjoy that rest. Attack your prayer life. Attack your Christian life. I've seen people who immediately they get born again. They are on fire. 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 After some time. Let's go for evangelism now. They can't go anymore. Something happened and water quenched the fire. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, it is not your rest. And because there are battles to be fought, Jesus Christ himself told his disciples, what should they do? He said, watch and do what? And pray. It is only in the promised land that you can watch and pray. It's only your land of rest, your own possession, because the enemy will want to kick you out of that place. Therefore, you that are born again, you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are sure of going to heaven. Ha! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are some vehicles that they bring from Cotonou. Some arrive in Lagos intact. Some arrive here battered. Anyway, but they all arrived. How do you want to arrive in a rapture? You will arrive, but some will be battered. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Because they did not watch. It is to make you watch. That's why we have all these programs of consecration to keep you alive spiritually. I can't church with this every Friday night vigil. It's to keep you alive. Why? Because the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed. How do you take heed? It's watch and pray, lest you fall. So this is not yet your rest. And so last week, we saw because once you are born again, you enter a battlefield. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And Ephesians chapter 6, you read it from verse 10 where we read last week, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And we took time to explain this armor one after the other as Apostle Paul gave us. And if you get our tape for last week, you will see it there. That is the summary of what we did last week. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was when we sang that song, Christians, seek yet not repose. Hear thy guardian angel say, thou art in the midst of foes. Watch and you have to watch and pray in the midst of foes. So you put on the whole armor of God. And remember, why also, I emphasized last week, why also it's not yet your rest. We saw in the Bible that when Benjamin gave the tribes, the first three tribes, their own portion. Hallelujah. The first three tribes, their own portion on, according to the Bible, this side of the Jordan. He told them something. He told those three tribes, don't say because you have entered your own promised land, then you will now relax. He said, you are not to relax until when? Until your other brethren also get into their rest. And I said it last week that you that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are to continue to stand in the gap for those who have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are not the only one that will go to heaven. There are still brethren from everywhere, even within here, that still need the Holy Ghost. How do we know? By their fruit. You will know them. Praise the Lord. And so it is not your rest. You cannot rest when your own brethren have not possessed their possession. They have not entered their land of rest. So let's uphold one another in prayer. Those of us that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, let's open it. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, praise God. Let's continue our thought from here. Verse 48 made a very serious statement here. Matthew 5, 48. It says, all of us, can we read it together? Shall we go? Be ye perfect, even as your Father. Let's go again. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Be ye perfect. Hallelujah. It is a commandment. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It is a commandment. It is not a plea. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, be you perfect. Be you perfect. Tap your neighbor and say, be perfect. See, somebody will say, a human being cannot be perfect. If you cannot be perfect, then why does God say, be perfect? So a human being can be perfect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Be ye perfect. Be ye perfect. Be ye perfect. Hebrews chapter 6. Commandment of the Lord. It's a commandment. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me read it. Verse 1. Let me read it from verse 1. This is how he put it. Therefore, are we there? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, he said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to what? Shout it again. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Every time, stop fornication. Stop this one. Don't beat your wife. Don't abuse your husband. No jealousy. No, he said, let us be perfect. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Every time, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith. He said, let's leave that and go into perfection. instead of have faith, or verse 2, every time, water baptism, baptism, of the doctrine of baptisms, every time, baptism, have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Somebody came to my office yesterday, is it yesterday or the day before yesterday? He said, she's having problem, have you been baptized? A prophet was going to pray, Jayola, you remember the sister? You said, no, is it you or who? Said, you should go and, or is it Igbo? He said, sister, go and be baptized. Come on Tuesday and be baptized. I asked her, how long have you been in Bride Assembly? She said, 8 months. And you have not been baptized? She said, she has not yet been baptized. I said, maybe it's just a come program, go. For 8 months! So I told the minister, I said, don't tell her to go for water baptism. She does not believe it. And you don't force anybody to do it. On the doctrine of baptism, verse 2, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. So we will still talk about repentance. We will still talk about baptism. We will still talk about resurrection, the hope of resurrection. But Apostle Paul is saying, let us leave this once and let's move on to perfection. And who is he talking to here? He was talking to believers filled with the Holy Ghost. He was talking to believers. He was not talking in a crusade of unbelievers outside. And this perfection here, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The perfection that is referred to in the Bible here, in the usage there, is maturity. It's talking about Christian maturity. Move on to maturity. Because when you're born again, the spiritual birth is similar to the physical birth. When a new child is born, he's a complete human being, isn't it? But he's still a child. Hallelujah. So he is still messy. And he does a lot of childish things. Apostle Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I talked as a child, he acted as a child. But now that he is matured, the evidence that you are not more a child is, hallelujah, you will show the evidence of maturity. Maturity. When you see a little child, that a child, you know, at every stage, when a child is 1 year old, 2 years old, there are expectations. He can go and piss anywhere. He can go and excrete anywhere. The mother will go and pack it. Na child. Amen. But when that child don't reach 4 years, instead of going to toilet, he go kitchen, go excrete. When the mother finish with them. Why? Because there are expectations. There are expectations. The mother expects that child to grow to maturity as the years go by. That's why I said this is not yet your rest. You are to move to maturity, perfection. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Why should you move to perfection? That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Church, we are supposed to inherit some promises. Verse 12 again. Why you must go into perfection. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One of them. For when God made promise to Abraham, Because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Verse 15, my emphasis. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith. Followers of them who through faith. I have two people we can quickly look at that we are supposed to follow. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 to 9, we have Noah. The Bible says Noah was a just man and perfect before God. Noah was a just man and he was perfect. That is the account of Noah. So if you say, no, it's no man that can be perfect, Noah was perfect according to the Bible. And he was a just man. In Genesis chapter 17, Abraham also. The Lord was commanding Abraham like he commanded us in Matthew chapter 5, 48. In verse 17, in chapter 17, verse 1, Genesis. The Lord, in coming to establish his covenant with Abraham, he told him, Abraham, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me, Abraham. The Bible says, Abraham found grace. Noah also found grace. And who else here has found grace? Shout your name, say you have found grace. Moses Alu has found grace. Who has found grace? Say it now. The Bible said, Noah found grace. Abraham found grace. Who again? Moses Alu found grace. He said, but he who found grace before God, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. If you have found grace, God is expecting you to walk in perfection. But Colossians chapter 1, let's open it. Colossians chapter 1, from verse 24. Okay. Verse 21. And you, those of you who have found grace, I'm talking to people who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you, that we are sometime alienated, cut off from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. How many of them are here today? How many? Oh, you are not following me. Let me read it again. Verse 21. Also, people are still opening their Bible. And you, that were some time ago as unbelievers, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now that you have received the Holy Ghost, now has he reconciled. That's why I say, how many have been reconciled? How many of us? God bless you. For God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have been reconciled. Alienated, that is cut off. But we have been reconnected to him, God, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is the message Apostle Paul is telling you. Hallelujah. Verse 21 again. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom this is the mystery, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. That's the mystery that Apostle Paul is preaching. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So this perfection I'm speaking about is the perfection that comes through Christ Jesus. This perfection comes through Christ Jesus. It is a perfection in Christ. And I say maturity, I'm talking about Christian maturity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Apostle Paul, then Apostle Peter, then spelled it out how we grow into that maturity. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I will close on that. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I see their hand up? Who are those that have received the same precious faith that the old apostles have received? That's why we sing, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Peter. It was good for Brother Abraham. It is good for our brothers. And it's good enough for me. Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The faith of the apostles that we are contending for, and it is only those who are in this entire message that verse 1 can be meaningful to. See, you have to know what faith the apostles received before you can say the same faith is what you too you have received. I call it precious faith. It's not precious faith because that is the faith that will pack you to heaven, that will pack you to the rapture. You see? Hallelujah. And you know, anytime I look at this, I don't like these high sounding definitions of scripture. I always like to bring it down, because if I don't bring it down to your level, you will not understand what it means. When Peter said precious faith, it goes beyond baptism in the name of Jesus. It's more than that. Because you have to get, what did Peter stand for? Why did Peter believe? What did he preach? Is it what you preach? Are you following the same faith? Because a sister that is sitting down here, for instance, Apostle Paul, Peter gave an example of Sarah that we are supposed to emulate, and that submitted herself so much to her husband until, what was she calling her husband? And a sister that has not submitted herself to the level of subjecting herself and calling her husband, "My Lord, you have not received the same precious faith with Peter." So I need to make you understand that verse 1. Brother, you go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You go. Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Peter spoke about we. That we there is the apostles. Because in Acts chapter 10, he went to the house of Cornelius. While Peter yet spake, he noticed something happened. Everybody there was speaking in tongues. And he noticed the same thing that happened to them in the upper room. These Gentiles, they are not Jews. They have also received it. Then he turned and looked at the other Jews that came with him. He said, "These people have received the same spirit we have received. What forbids us from baptizing them?" So when we talk of like precious faith, he said, "We," that is they, the Jews. Apostle Paul was a Jew too. And he was also an apostle. So the "we" there includes Apostle Paul. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he told us, he said, "You, brother, you must so love your wife until you be ready to die for her." How many men here can die for their wife? Wave it. Wave it. Wave it. Your wife will not see you. Hallelujah. If you don't love your wife until you can die for her, you don't have the same precious faith. That's what I'm trying to say. The slightest opportunity, bam, bam, kick her. That is not the faith Peter is talking about. The faith that Peter said we should treat them as what? Weaker vessels. How can a small child say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, beat you. You say, "Hey, you beat me. Ta, ba, ba. Now you're mate." He said that is how you should treat a woman. See? Praise the Lord. Woman, not be man. Woman, not be man. A man, not be woman. You are stronger than her. God made you to be a source of protection. You are to protect her and not to be a security risk again to her. Praise God. And a woman is free to divorce a marriage that a man beats her. He said, "Hey, no, be for better, for worse." It's not this type of worse. It's not this type of worse. And a woman that does not subject herself, a man can put her away. But it's for better, for worse. It's not for that type of worse. Weaker vessel. I'm talking about like faith. Like faith. Like faith. I'm not talking about marriage and divorce. You know, we talk about that once every year. When the time comes, we will talk again. But I'm just talking about the like faith. Those of us who have the same faith with Apostle Peter. Let's go to where he's going to verse 2. Verse 2. He said, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." And the church will say, sorry, not everybody. Those who have the same faith with Peter will say, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some women that you see one tooth come out. If you see any woman where her teeth come out, she used her mouth wrongly. Now the man slap him, the teeth can't come out. Any woman you see her teeth come out, because a woman's strength is in her mouth. Whereas a man's strength is in his muscles. And all of them are very strong. When a woman uses her mouth on you. Ah. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. This is a serious study of what Peter is saying. So let's follow, because we're going to take it verse by verse. So I want somebody to understand this. Just the way we took Ephesians chapter 6 last week. There's something here I want you to also see in 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and what? He called us to what? Glory and virtue. Your call is, he has called us so that we shall glorify his name. And we need to be virtuous for that name to be glorified. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Christ, I told you something. We preached the destiny of a Christian, and I told you that Christ was the image of the invisible God, that what God wanted to achieve in the Garden of Eden that the serpent spoiled, he achieved it through Christ. Christ therefore became the image that God is expecting every one of us to also achieve. And that's why Christ in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. What he's saying there is, you can never get to Christ except you have the same image that he has too. And that image is the divine nature. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, verse 4, that through those promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And now verse 5. Verse 5 is the stature of perfection. From verse 5 down. Hallelujah. This is now the perfection. When Jesus said, be ye perfect. For your heavenly Father is perfect. Where Apostle Paul said we should move on to perfection, Apostle Peter is now giving us when you can say, now I am matured. Now I am a perfect Christian. This is what you must achieve. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Precious faith. The precious faith there that Apostle Peter spoke about, that we can be partakers of that precious, of like precious faith. That precious faith there is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. That precious faith there, hallelujah, is coming back to Bible Christianity, accepting the entire message. That faith there is believing that your destiny is to be like Jesus. It's one thing to believe it. It's another to achieve it. It's one thing to believe. That is faith. You believe, that is faith. I believe. Why? Because there is a revelation. Faith is revelation. When the Bible says that you cannot, it said the just shall live by faith. It means the justified, those that are justified, we walk by what? Revelation. But he's saying, you have revelation of the Godhead. You have revelation of water baptism. You have revelation of Malachi chapter 4. You have the revelation that we are now in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. You have the revelation from Genesis to Revelation. You know what took place in the Garden of Eden. You know why you must leave the denomination. He said, that faith that you have, he said, add to that faith, what? Virtue. add to that faith what? Virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is, hallelujah, it's talking about character now. Character. Make your faith presentable. That's the virtue. Make that faith presentable. Be virtuous. Because there is a way that revelation can make you to be proud. And so, because you are revelated, everybody around are devil. You have no regard for anybody again. There's no virtue in your faith. The way you carry along yourself does not reflect anybody that can say you have caught something that is precious. The faith we hold on to is a precious thing. Therefore, let it be attractive by the character you put up going along with that faith. Then add, so you see the first one is faith. That is the foundation. Then add on top what? Virtue. After virtue, what do you add on top? The next thing is what? Knowledge. Knowledge there, praise the Lord. Because the revelation of God is progressive. A Christian is supposed to be knowledgeable in the things of God. Because God is mysterious. And so, there's a tendency that you say, especially those of us who are gifted, you see vision, you see angels every now and then, and you just relax there. If you don't have knowledge, the Bible said, my people are destroyed. For what? Lack of knowledge. Church, knowledge here is different from revelation. Praise the Lord. Knowledge is different from revelation. Revelation positions you. Hallelujah. Knowledge, hallelujah. Knowledge gives you freedom. Knowledge gives you freedom. Because this God, hallelujah, hallelujah, this God is so mysterious. Okay, somebody will say, but Pastor Moses, you are not a prophet. Then how do you teach prophets how to use their gift? It's knowledge. Do you understand now? It's knowledge. Praise the Lord. It's knowledge. It is knowledge that will make me not to blaspheme. It's knowledge. Hallelujah. It's knowledge so that you can know when God is moving. If not, you will call a child of God serpent seed. It is knowledge that makes me know, praise the Lord, that a true child of God can act like a serpent seed because of influence. It's knowledge. Hallelujah. It is knowledge that will make me know, amen, that it is not, blessed be the name of the Lord, that the anointed in the denomination, they are not all devil. It is knowledge. And how do you acquire that knowledge? It's by studying. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. It's by studying. Therefore, don't sit down, relax. Say, I have received the Holy Ghost. Study so that you will know God. Study so that you will know how Satan appears. Study. If without that knowledge, all your faith will be rubbish. Add to that knowledge what? 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 Temperance. You are not following. Is it temperance or patience? Hallelujah. The first one is faith. Add to your faith, virtue. Add to that virtue what? Knowledge. And add to that knowledge what? The reason why Temperance is self-control. When you don't have self-control, oh, your Christian life will be rubbished. Temperance, so that, hallelujah, you will not use the anointing wrongly. Apostle Jesus Christ, his disciples saw some people praying, Jesus said, they were just making caricature of Jesus. He said, do we curse them? See those people, what we see what they are doing. Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are made of. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you have the power to do and to undo. If you stand and curse anything, that thing will be cursed. That's the truth. And you say, but if it is wrong, then why does God not stop it? You see? Why does God not stop it? That is why he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father is perfect. Why does he not stop it? The same reason why he did not cut off the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. He leaves you to know what you are supposed to do with it. And that's why I told you the example that William Branham gave when he was preaching. And in that service, at the back of the auditorium there, a young girl and a young boy, they were there kissing themselves under the pillar of fire. See? And as a man, you know, you feel, you get angry. When he saw it, you know, how can somebody not fear God up to this level? And what happened? The story says, immediately his attention got there. He said the angel appeared and was telling him, say anything, I will back it up. Amen. Say anything, I will back it up. I have told you about that story. He said, what did he tell them? He said, turn. If he had said, all of you will know that I am a prophet of God to this age. All of you, blind. So that you are not going to know where they mouth today again. If now you don't be so you go talk. So that they go know, say, you're a mighty man of God. So that people go to fear you. So people fear of you, no, say, Pastor Moses is not the ordinary man. All of you, those two people there. In fact, paralyzed, blind, and die. So that they will know that I am a true man of God. But William Branham said, he told them, he looked at them, he said, I forgive you. And he said, that is what the Holy Ghost was waiting for him to say. The Holy Ghost is waiting for you to say that. But the angels say, why? The Holy Ghost is different from angels. Angels are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14. They are our servants. They hearken to the voice. Psalm 103 verse 20. They hearken to the voice of God's word. Anything you say in the name of Jesus, as long as the angel for your ministry is with you, he will go and carry it out. Until you say, hey, stop, he will stop. Not only is he saying that they chain people for here, eh? When they chain and finish, then I will say release. If I say leave her like that, it will stay there. The Holy Ghost, he said that is what the Holy Ghost was waiting for him to say. Temperance, self-control. So that when you are supposed to act correctly, you will be in the mood to act correctly. And add to temperance what? Patience. That's number what? Patience. Hallelujah. That is it. That's the maturity. He said, add. I expect you to write it and every day score yourself. Do I have virtue? Has the name of the Lord been blasphemed through me? Have I caused God's name to be rubbished? Have I disgraced the name of the Lord? Everybody know me as a minister. Is there anything I have done that if my name is called anywhere as a man of God, they'll say, this one. That's the virtue. Then add to that virtue, knowledge. Then add to that knowledge, what? Temperance. And add to temperance, what? Patience. Patience here is a very serious virtue. Very serious one. Because as a child of God, called according to God's purpose, nothing works your own way anymore. Whatever you are looking for, if it's going to go contrary to the purpose of God in your life, it will never come to pass. No matter how much you fast and you pray. And patience, because whenever you pray, because God has his appointed time for you, for every aspect of your life. Anytime you pray, he will say, I have heard you. I shall do it. I shall soon come. You will soon receive the fruit of the womb. You will soon. And your own soon is not God's own soon. And because God's own soon is not your own soon, you need the virtue of patience. Quality of patience. And every Christian that does not have that patience, you will live a miserable life. You will be living a murmuring life. Every day you are grumbling. In my own case, is it different? My own case, is it different? I come to this church before Ike don't marry me up to now. Nobody agree marry me. Why now? That is the same alatology when they go together. If they do and pass me, what happened now? Hallelujah. This one we just come yesterday, you don't get car. Father, what did I do you? See this one condition, Every day, grumble, until you will end up condemning yourself. You put yourself on a failure side of life. Until you will accept it and say, it don't happen. I know. I told you one time, some years back, we had one car to use that day to come to church. And one of the children in my house, they've been digging for here before. And then we said, well, some people will have to go to church by taxi because there's only one car. We are more than this. So, we shall do ballot so that nobody will say, I favor this one, I don't favor this one. I say, oh yeah, if you pick yes, you have a seat in the car. If you pick no, and there's only one person that is to pick no. And then before we picked it, he said, I know I'm going to pick no. I know I'm going to pick no. The other one said, I know I'm going to pick yes. I'm sure of that. He said, I'll pick no. He's here now. They hear me. I don't know whether they hear me. Immediately he picked, he opened, now no. If you say to this mountain, he said, and you will not doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. You see? And that is how it is. I know. I just got this interview. I know. Not be me that this bride assembly in Kiru can't get your own. They go. Me, I dare here, I don't know what I do this. Make I go. I know as I go, that's how I go come back. As you go, that's how you come back. And impatience will lead you to do so many things that will hurt your life. It's true. It's not impatience that will make somebody in a church like this, where you know we have the gifts here, prophetic gift, you will still go to, they say there is one prophet at Ago. They say there is one prophet at Ikotu. They say there is one prophet at Iba. Make I go. It's impatience. It is saving patience that will make you leave Kenneth to Igbo. From Igbo, you go to this one. From this one, you go to this one. One by one, what happened? The same problem, oh, you go here again. The same problem, oh, you go here again. The same problem, oh, and it is nothing but impatience you are exhibiting and you don't even know it. And because of it, you have not positioned yourself to receive from God. Because there's nothing you are standing and hoping on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The substance is thus said the Lord. You stand there. Hallelujah. But you don't have a substance. So what are you hoping on? Because what this man told you, you don't believe. So you are going here. So every day you are going here. You are going here. You have no ground you are standing on and hoping for. So in your prayer, you have nothing to tell God. And it is a spirit of impatience that produced that. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Add to your patience what? Eh? Godliness here is a holy life. One. Not just a holy life. Hallelujah. Listen. Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. When you say godliness here, it's being God conscious in everything you do. Godliness. Why? That is, before you do anything, is it according to the will of God? This man slapped me. If not Jesus is slapped, what did Jesus go do? Ah. Make a liver. You see? Hallelujah. I went to the bank to cash money one day. Amen. Hallelujah. I went to the bank to cash money one day. The person counted the money and gave me. 100,000 naira was what? 150 was what I was to cash. I didn't know the person counted 250,000 naira. The cashier. I didn't know. But you know when you fill phone, they say write your phone number. So I wrote the phone number. And after some time, that day, I came, the way they brought the money. Okay, that was when we wanted to buy this television set. And I had collected some cash and some this. And so I gave it to the brother. So I came back from the bank and said, take, got everything. So he must do. I said, count, total, how many? He counted. I said, so how many television sets can he buy? I said, oh yeah, go and bring them. So I don't know whether now 150 or 250. So one time the lady called, said, sir, Pastor Moses? I said, yes. He said, please, I gave you 250 instead of 150. Why I remember that is, some people lie. They will call it manna from above. But a godly person will not do that. A godly person will not do that. Godly person will not do that. Praise the Lord. Godliness. Godliness. Every time. If your boss sends you. Amen. Don't go and inflate the receipt. Don't go and inflate the receipt. No matter what difficulty you are going through. Don't go and inflate the receipt. And that is the commonest thing. That's why I have no respect for any receipt from anywhere. I have gone to the market to buy something. Give me a receipt and I say, make I write the correct price. I say, why will you not write the correct price? No, say, no, now anything. He say, make I write, now I go write. Ha! So now what did they write with that? And a Christian will say, write. The cost price 2,000. Write 4,000. Write 4,000. Write 4,000. And the day that they go catch you, it will be 15 naira. And the truth is this, church, I am not scaring you. No true child of God will do that and go free. You do it the first time, he go warn you. You do it the second time, he go warn you. When you do it the third time, he will not warn you again. You do it again, he will not warn you again. The next thing is they go catch you. And cry. You must undergo the punishment. Go and fast, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lie. He warned you the first time. He warned you the second time. And why should a Christian live that type of life of dishonesty? Let somebody see you as a Christian and leave his house for you and leave the key and leave the safe and leave everything in your hand and be confident that you are a Christian. Let it be. And when you get honest with your boss like that and he tries to be funny over you, that is when they will know there is a God in Israel. That's the truth. I told you the story of a brother that we were worshiping in the same church some years ago. He was working with his own senior brother, serving him. The brother would send him to Turkey and to other outside. They were importing some of these things. They use household utensils. And he said, anytime he went there, those companies there, they will tell him, you know, they can influence it. The brother will pay more dollar, then they will give him dollar overseas. So they said they would tell them. He said he would tell them, no. They correct him. No. They tried him in several ways throughout along the years he was serving his master. No. He served his master, his own senior brother. And then it was now time for his freedom. And immediately he left. He now took off to that place. The brother had the little money he gave him. It was going to just import just one container or less than one container. Because, you know, wicked people, they will not let you settle. And he said, he got there. When he got there, he said, they showed him a letter that his brother wrote to them that they should not deal with him, that he stole their money. And they showed him. So when he read it, he looked at them and then tears were coming out of his eyes overseas. He told me this testimony by himself. He said, the man said, no, don't cry. He said, I have told your director, because they didn't know they are related. I told your director, no, that you are an honest man. I told your director several times that you will have made money, but you refused because you say you are a Christian. He said, don't mind him. He said, don't give us any money. They released 6 containers to him. 6 containers. 2 years after he left his master, I went there where he's living, on that street. He has 3 upstairs on that street alone. There at Dupemu there. I entered his house. I could not believe what house is that. Why? Because at the time of temptation, he remained godly. Godliness. That's why he said godliness. Apostle Paul said godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Be godly anywhere you are. It's part of the stature of perfection. Add to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. Why? Because he said, as you would that men should do to you, so do ye unto men. Brotherly kindness. That is Christian love. Love your brother as yourself. Let love be part of you. Stop greediness. Stop selfishness. Stop covetousness. Give when it is supposed to give. And give here is not only money. When it is time to give money, give money. When it is time to give counsel, give counsel. When it is time to give peace, give peace. When it is time to give forgiveness, give forgiveness. When it is time to give somebody hope, give him hope. When somebody is down, don't match him. Lift him up. That is brotherly love. And when you are filled with brotherly love, it is only then you can intercede for one another. It is only then somebody can come to you and confess his fault to you. Brother, I still a fornicator. Help me. And brotherly love will not make you go and broadcast it. Do you know that brother, the fornicator, he told me this by himself.